we're going to continue our walk through the Gospel of John today. And today is January 13th of the new year, 2013. We're going to talk about the arrest attempt that was made on our Lord and Savior at the Feast of Tabernacles in the close to the end of his ministry. It's in John chapter 7, verses 32 through 52. And my outline goes like this, that leaders send people as number one, that Jesus invites people number two, and then number three, people respond. And as we walk through these verses, I hope it makes sense where I came up with those points. Here's what it says in John chapter 7, verse 32. The Pharisees heard the crowd whispering such things about him. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple guards to arrest him. Jesus said, I am with you only a short time, and then I am going to the one who sent me. You will look for me, but you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. The Jews said to one another, where is this man intending to go that we can't find him? Will he go to the peoples scattered who live among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What did he mean when he said, you will look for me, but you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come? So, when I talk about leaders sending, there are several different leaders in this passage, and what we'd like to do is look at them and see what God would show us about our lives. There's at least five different leaders and leadership styles and models in this section of the Scripture, and so let's look at them and see what we could learn from them that would be useful to us, because in some way, shape, or form, during any 24-hour period of life, you end up leading in some way. It's very seldom that you're always a follower. There's generally a decision to be made in some way, shape, or form during the day. So let's look at these guys. Pharisees heard the crowd whispering about such things about him. So the chief priests and the Pharisees, then they sent guards to arrest him. What do you know about the such things that they were whispering about in the crowd? And is there something that's kind of special when people are whispering about someone? When you're in these conversations and all of a sudden it goes down to a whisper, did you hear about, have you noticed what there? Does it change your ears perk up a little bit when this is something that we don't say out loud, we're afraid to say in public, but we'll whisper it about it? Is there anybody else that gets kind of caught up in those types of conversations? It's like when they're loud, yeah, but when they start whispering about somebody, then I want to pay attention. In John chapter 7, verse 21, here he is speaking publicly, and they're not saying a word to him. Have the authorities really concluded he's the Messiah? So the people in this period of time in the temple were afraid to say anything really publicly out loud, but they would whisper among themselves, here's Jesus teaching, and the people that have been saying they're going to arrest him and kill him when he comes to town are just watching. So have they really decided that maybe he's the Messiah? In verse 31, it said, still many in the crowd believed him. They said, when the Messiah comes, will he perform more signs than this man? So Jesus is doing miracles. He's doing amazing things. But nobody gets up on the bandstand and yells about it. They just whisper and say, well, even if he isn't the Messiah, could anybody do more than this guy? I mean, he's healing the sick. He's raising the dead. Lepers are cleansed, blind are seeing, lame are walking. This is just amazing. In verse 40 it says, on hearing these words, some of the people said, surely this man is the prophet. Now in the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah and Jeremiah had all prophesied that in the future there will come a great prophet. And he will be the last word. And so they're saying, could this Jesus be the prophet that's been spoken of? In verse 41, they said, he's the Messiah. He's, in our Greek language, he's the Christ. To the Jews, he would be the Messiah, but to us, he's Christ. He's the King. And they were whispering about that. Could he be? So, what did the chief priests and the Pharisees do in response to hearing these things? Well, when they sent guards. The chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple guards. That's your first blank, A. They sent temple guards. So what else could they have done? I mean, is there anything else they could do in response to all these whisperings in the crowd and this man claiming and doing these miracles? What would you do if you were in leadership? If you were on the church board and there's somebody in the congregation who's healing sick people on Sunday, making them walk when they have been crippled all their life, and restoring blind people, guys with crippled, paralytic hands are healed miraculously in church. What would you do as a leader? Would you do the same thing? Would you send somebody to arrest them to get this problem out of our church? B, on your outline, Jesus said, I'm going to the one who sent me. So if you could spell it right in A, you could spell it right in B. Jesus is saying, I'm going to the one who sent me. So the leaders, the Pharisees, are sending guards, and God the Father is sending Jesus. Does that seem difficult to understand when he says, I'm going to the one who sent me? That seemed difficult to understand. Is Jesus demonstrating to them that he is an authority who is under authority? See, as he's speaking, he's not taking credit for himself. He's saying, I am a man who is sent by God, and I am going back to the one who sent me. But Jesus also invites people and sends people, but he does a very good job of not taking credit for what's going on, but demonstrating to them and to us how an authority under authority can function rightly. And many times when you get into situations with authorities in this life, it's good to remember what Christ said or did, or oftentimes, when he gets into a confrontation, he doesn't say anything. He doesn't let his emotions carry him away and say something he wished he wouldn't have later. And he won't respond other than helping people by asking them a question. So looking at Christ's leadership pattern of all these leadership patterns is probably the best. Nicodemus is probably the second best. But looking at how he leads is best. So in John 7:46, it said, no one ever spoke the way this man does, the temple guards replied. Jesus, in the manner in which he spoke, the way he carried himself, spoke as a man with authority that people were just awed at the wisdom and the respect and the way that he talked. So, do you live like you are sent by God and under God's authority? If someone were to look at your life in the new year, would they say that person lives like somebody who knows God, is sent by God, understands God's authority, exercises right authority? Would that be a model that people would say about your life? So Jesus is saying time is short. Do you live like your time is short? Around my house, because of some of the medical crises that come up, there's verifiable facts that life may be coming shorter than what we expect. We had a conversation recently with people that went like this. A lot of people live like there's no tomorrow. They don't make the day count. They don't seem to have an idea of the big picture of what's going on. Even though they've seen people get old and die, they live like they don't expect that to happen to them. This new year, are you listening to Christ and saying, I'm only here for a short time, then I'm going away, heard something the other day that someone said, what is the legacy you want to leave to your children? And I thought, well, you know, that's a real sobering thought. What is it you want your children, your grandchildren, your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors, what is it you want them to remember about you when you're gone? Because you're going to go. And we gave thanks in our prayer earlier for safe travel. But on icy roads, we could go today. How are you living? Are you living life short with a big worldview? Why do you think the Jewish leaders did not hear this? Why didn't they hear what Jesus was saying? Jesus said, I'm with you only a short time, then I'm going to the one who sent me. That's the important part. But this is what they focused on. You will look for me, but you won't find me. Where I am, you can't come. And I think the difference is, the first one, Jesus saying, I am with you, I am going. But when he starts saying, you will look for me, and you can't find me, and where I'm going, you can't come, all of a sudden their ears pick up. Well, wait a minute. Why not? Where is this guy going? Do you see the difference? The chief priests and the Pharisees were not good listeners. Your blank is listeners. Do you think they were good listeners? Do you think they were listening to what Christ was saying, were listening to what the crowd was saying and paying attention to it? See, what or who are these Jewish leaders really listening to? Is it a good pattern for leaders to just talk to each other about someone without getting the facts or inviting them into the conversation? Is that a good way for leaders to work? I mean, if you're in Washington and you're not paying any attention to what your country is saying to you, but you're just getting into these little conversations, your little committee meetings, and you're arguing back and forth because you're not on the right team, is that a good way to lead? Or is it better that we would listen to God and listen to other people and invite their input into the conversation, pay attention, and especially invite God into our thinking and leadership conversation? In John 7:50 and 51, Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier and who was one of the number, asked, does our law condemn a man without hearing him and finding out what he's been doing? So Nicodemus is in the midst of this leadership conversation and asks, doesn't it seem like a good idea that we would listen to this guy before we make our decisions to arrest him and kill him? Doesn't it seem like a good idea to check our facts before we do that? How would you describe your listening skills? Would you say you're a good listener? Who are the people in your life that you see that are a good listener? People who value what you have to say. They don't interrupt you. They don't change the conversation. They don't answer for you. They actually pay attention and listen to you. Who are the good listeners in your life? Do people say you are a good one? Or are you like the country western song that I heard a noise but I didn't hear what she said? There was a noise over there, but I wasn't listening. Did these Jewish leaders have the love and take the time to get the facts before they acted? Did they get the facts? It doesn't look like they did. Are you loving enough to listen to people? Or are you too selfish to hear the facts and the truth before you decide and act? Unfortunately, many of us live our lives like that second half. We're so selfish, we don't really think about the other person. We don't ask them questions. We just assume that we understand and function from there. And there's a lot we could learn about listening from this passage. So the application is this on the first point. Our time is short. We, like Jesus, are sent by God. And are we sending messages? And we are sending messages by how we live. So life's short. just like Jesus, we are being sent by God. And what are the messages that we're sending from our lives? Do people look at us and see us like Christ? Little Christs, which is what Christians originally started out as. So, let's look at this next passage of Scripture, and then we'll do point two. Verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from within him." Sounds like the song we sang a little bit ago. By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not been glorified. So that's an important point, that Jesus had not been glorified yet. The Holy Spirit had not been released at Pentecost. So this place where they're living is different than where we were living in time. So the second point is Jesus invites people. In your life, do you prefer people to send you or invite you? Which would you prefer? In my life, I'd much rather work with somebody who says, "Will you help me with this?" or "Could you come over and give me a hand with that?" rather than, "Get your over here now and do that." You know what I mean? Jesus is someone who invites people. A, on your outline, Jesus invites anyone. Anyone who is thirsty, come to him and drink. Jesus is saying in a loud voice, in the largest crowd of worshipers at this festival, he's saying very publicly, anyone who comes to me will receive from me. Anybody. Good guys, bad guys, nice guys, not so nice guys, really sinful people, not so sinful people. Anyone who comes to me, I will take care of them. Jesus is saying that he is one of the prophets that had been talked about. He's claiming that Isaiah said the Messiah would come with a life-giving blessing, and Jesus is claiming to be that Messiah and to do what only the Messiah could do. So sometimes Jesus is candid about what he's doing, but this time he wasn't. He was in the biggest crowd on the biggest day, and saying it in a loud voice. In Matthew 13, 14, 15, we read as we read through the Bible this week, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but not perceiving. For these people's hearts have become callous. They hardly hear with their ears. Their closed eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Jesus is saying the crowd that he was in, the time that he was in, is much like the time that we live in. People's ears are dull. Their hearts are hard. Their minds are worked over with other stuff, and they don't hear from God. But he goes on to say, but blessed are your eyes because you see, and your ears because they hear. Blessed are those of us who are looking at the Scriptures, who are pondering what God has for our life, and trying to be witnesses and share him in this year. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and hear what you hear, but did not hear it. The blessings of being in the time we live in, not just in the country we live in, but in the time that we live in, where the Spirit of God is free and the Word of God is open and able for us, this is a unique time for people. Be on your outline, Jesus said, whoever. So the first one was anybody, and the second one, whoever believes in me, God's living water will flow from within him. Jesus is speaking here of eternal life, that when you receive his resurrection, eternal life, that this living water will flow from you. Well, why did Jesus say, you'll look for me, but you won't find me, and where I am, you can't come? That's the question that tangled up the leaders. Well, the thing is, Jesus is saying, I'm going to die soon. And when I rise from the dead, you'll look for my body, but you will not find it. After I am glorified, then you can come be with my Father and I. But in that time that he was saying, if you died, you couldn't go straight to heaven, be with Jesus right away, because he hadn't finished his work. He hadn't been glorified. So he was explaining to them what's going to happen so they would know when it happened. Jesus told them a sinful woman at a well that he would give her this living water. Jesus is still inviting people today to experience the refreshing, life-giving Spirit of God. So, doesn't matter, like this woman at the well, how many men you've been with. Doesn't matter what the life pattern is. You could be a leader in the church. You could be a woman at the well that had led a very colorful life. He's saying anybody, whoever, he's still offering that today. But it's something that you must listen to and receive. See on the outline, Jesus invites those who believe. Your blank is believe in him, receive the Holy Spirit. So have you personally responded to his invitation? Have you opened your life to his saving grace? Have you received the blessing of the Holy Spirit in your life? He's saying you can if you'll believe in him, if you'll seek it. You can receive it. In Acts 1:4, on one occasion, Jesus gave him this command. Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So the first end product, the first working of the Holy Spirit, is that we become witnesses when we experience this Spirit. So the application is this. Jesus invites, will you be one who becomes a witness this year? What will you do with his invitation? So, in John chapter 7, verse 40, on hearing these words, some of the people said, surely this man's a prophet. Others said, he's a Messiah. Still others said, how can the Messiah come from Galilee? Does not the scripture say the Messiah will come from David's descendants, from Bethlehem, the town where David lived? Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but nobody laid a hand on him. Finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they asked, why didn't you bring him in? Well, no one ever spoke the way this man does, the guards replied. You mean you've been deceived also, the Pharisees reported. Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in him? No, they said, but the mob that doesn't know anything of the law, there is a curse on them. Nicodemus was one of their number, but he did believe. Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier, and he's the one that we've talked about. When Nicodemus went to see Jesus, he said, Nick, you must be born again. He had gone earlier to Jesus, and he was one of the number and asked, does our law condemn a man without first hearing him and find out what has been going on? They replied, are you from Galilee too? Look into it. You'll find that no prophet does not come from Galilee. And then, verse 53, they all went home. So, we talked about leaders sending, Jesus inviting, and then the people respond, point number three. A on your outline, people said this man is a prophet, others said he is a Messiah. So these are true things. He is the prophet, he is the Messiah that you're looking for. Who do you say he is? 2013, who do you say he is? Do you say he's a prophet? Do you say he's Messiah? Do you call him Savior? Do you call him Lord? Do you call him redeemed? How do you, what do you, when you whisper, what do you say about him? Who do you say he is? We live in a very distressing time for a Christian. Now, but they will make us a better person and prepare us for something magnificent. We live in a very awkward time as a Christian. It's a very difficult time in our country. It's one of the most difficult times to be a Christian in our country to date. There are things that are happening every day that make it more difficult to be a thriving, vibrant Christian. But if we will persevere with the Holy Spirit, walk in relationship with Jesus, be a witness, it will prepare us for something magnificent. There's a definite difference when you get to heaven for people that have denied Christ and people that have confessed Christ. There's a definite difference for the people who even give a glass of water in His name to people who don't. So, He's trying to prepare us for big things by the things that are going on right now that are very distressing in our country, in our time. B, the temple guard said no one spoke, your blank is spoke, the way this man does. The way Jesus talked was different. A man with authority, under authority, spoke very different. How are you responding to the words of Jesus this new year? These guards, these soldiers, were awed at the power that Christ had. How are you responding to Jesus' words this year? Does Jesus have a slot in your daily schedule? Do you have an appointment? At least one. Do you plan your day around time with Him, or does He get what time's left over if there is time that's left over in your busy schedule? How are you relating to Him this year? What's your strategy? What's your plan? Where you got your bulletin back there, there are Bible reading guides, which is the pattern I'm doing. 3 different scriptures in a day. You're reading, right now we're reading in Genesis, we're reading in Psalms, we're reading in Matthew. It'd be a good idea to do one of those at every meal a day. Some of us like to do them all at once. There are tracks back there at the same place that you can grab to take a look at what is my purpose for life in this year. To take a few minutes, look at the scripture and define what your purpose is. How are you listening to Him? How are you hearing from Him? How are you talking to Him? It's important that we make a plan and He just doesn't end up getting what's left over. See on your outline, Nicodemus said, does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he's been doing? Could these leaders have gotten facts about who Jesus was? I mean, they could have sent one of their underlings from the Jewish temple to the Roman court and got the census records that say where Jesus was born. If they would have done the due diligence, they could have discovered he was born in Bethlehem. His life was the way it's designed to be. He comes from the line of David, from the town of David. But they didn't do the due diligence. They could have. Rather than just talking to each other and whispering about him and arguing about, they could have listened to what he said and got the facts. So can you and I. I mean, with Google today or Bing today, you can find out amazing things about God with no real unrolling scrolls and talking to people. I mean, you can find out amazing facts about what God is doing. But you'd have to be willing to hear. You'd have to be willing to listen. You'd have to be willing to get the facts. And most of us don't want to take the time, energy, and effort to get the facts. We just want to go with what we know or what we think. We just want to assume that we got it. So, what had Jesus been doing? Here's what he said in Matthew 11. Jesus replied, go back and report to John. This is what you hear. This is what you see. Blind people receive their sight. Lame people walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. That's what he's been up to. And if the leaders would have took the time to get the facts, I don't see how they could make the decision they made. Are you like Nicodemus? Do you take the courage and never stop serving Jesus because of suffering or fear? When Nicodemus spoke up in that group, there was going to be repercussions. And most people were afraid to say anything, but he wasn't. Are you going to be like him? Will you offer your very life for God's glory this year? Will you allow him to speak through you, to be his witnesses? The arrest attempt. Could you see things in our time, in our country, where people will be at risk for confessing Jesus Christ? Could you see on the horizon where in our country you could be arrested for that? I mean, if we lose the war with Islam, it's over. I mean, we have people in government now that are making people sign pieces of paper that if they pray at the inauguration, they will not use the name of Jesus Christ. They're barring it today. And it won't be long at the rate things are going where sin is going to be so rampant in our country. We watched Sodom and Gomorrah get blown up. But yet we live in a state where the federal government is putting financial pressure on our state to make homosexuality or same-sex marriage, as they call it, legal. And you can't do those things against God and not have repercussions. It's not that far off the way things are going. So it's important for you and I to decide, like Nicodemus, that we will respond by listening to others, by speaking the truth, by inviting others to Jesus. Jesus said he will reward you for leading people to him. And how will you respond? What are you going to do in this new year? He won't desert you. He won't leave you when you're in trouble. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's actually said, when you get into a mess, don't worry about it. My Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. So, it's your decision. Let's go to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us enough to give us this section of John. Thank you for giving us loving, godly leaders in the past. And we pray for our leaders today. We pray for each one of us as we're leaders, that we will live in such a way that brings honor and glory to you, that we will be your witnesses in Judea and Samaria and to the far ends of the world this year. In our lives, we will seek you, we will become good listeners, we will become more loving people as we listen and dialogue with people, that we will change to be more like you, Jesus, to let your Holy Spirit and your resurrection life be more of who we are. So we humbly seek you and we make decisions to follow you, and we pray in your sweet name. Amen.